Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to Sports Time Radio. SportsTimeRadio.com. Of course, you know the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is various content added throughout the week, so swing on over there, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? So, Dan, we waited, and we waited, and we listened to all the pontificating windbags, and all this stuff was going to happen, and Carmelo Anthony is still a Knick, Paul George is still a Pacer, and Jimmy Butler is still a Bull. Do any of these idiots know what they're talking about, Dan?
No, that's why they use the word. Well, it's just speculation.
So, you know, I mean, it's such a joke. You know, we listen to these morons build it up and build it up, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, this is going to happen, and, you know, that's going to happen. And then I did notice the closer we got to the deadline, there was much less Carmelo Anthony talk, and even the stuff on Jimmy Butler had dialed back a little bit, except for locally here where, you know, these morons, I mean, you and I have listened to them enough to know they have absolutely no idea what's going on in the sports world. You know, Paul George was the big name who popped up, but the Pacers just couldn't decide what they were going to do with him. You know, Dan, I'm not a huge NBA fan as it is because, let's face it, the games suck. But, you know, this kind of stuff just kills me. I mean, the reporters can't even get stuff right.
Well, I mean, it's show what are their sources really.
So, yeah, you know, and obviously, I mean, you know, I wouldn't call you and I reporters. We'd come on here and talk to each other about sports, you know, 5 days a week. And, you know, we don't have any inside sources like that. So we're kind of working off what they're reporting or what we're seeing. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what was the biggest move today? I mean, you know, I think the Thunder kind of fleeced the Bulls. You know, getting Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott isn't going to be enough to get them past, you know, the Warriors or probably the Rockets or the Spurs. But, you know, it was a really good trade. I mean, the Bulls basically got absolutely nothing in return. You know, Taj Gibson will be a really good sixth man. He can go back to that role, and that's what he fits really well. You know, he'll be a double-double guy, get you 10 points, get you 10 rebounds. And, you know, Doug, you know, McDermott has proved that he can shoot the three. You know, since they are local here, Dan, and Dougie McBuckets was your guy, are you a little less interested in the Bulls now that they shipped him off?
No, I think it's proved that they're willing to work around Jimmy. So, I mean, I'm disappointed, but I think he's going to a good team.
Yeah, he is. You know, there's no doubt with that. I think he fit in really nicely there. You know, he can hang out on the perimeter while, you know, Russell Westbrook drives to the hoop, which is what I thought the Bulls were going to use him for. You know, I thought they were going to actually have guys like Butler and Wade and Rajon Rondo try to get to the basket and, you know, kick balls out to Doug McDermott and Nikola Mirotic at the three-point line and see if we could score that way. They've never tried it. So, you know, we never know, but we do know, you know, Westbrook likes to drive. So, you know, McDermott, if he's on the court with him, could really benefit from, you know, getting that. The trade actually worked, Dan. It was Doug McDermott, Taj Gibson, and a 2018 second-round pick going to Oklahoma. In return, the Bulls got Cameron Payne, Joffrey Laverne, L-A-U-V-E-R-G-N-E, and Anthony Morrow. So, yeah. And that's what you got back there. I got a, you know, I know Joffrey, whatever his name is, had a couple decent games. One of them actually against the Bulls. Let me see what these other guys got. Morrow has played in 40 games, Dan. Averages a little over 15 minutes a game and averages 5.8 points. Laverne has played in 15 games, averages just under 15 minutes a game, and averages 5.7 points a game. Cameron Payne is a point guard who appeared in 20 games this year, averaged 16 minutes a game, and scores 5.3 points a game. So I'm guessing the Bulls saw a little more in these guys than Oklahoma City did, because there wasn't a lot of playing time to go around for them, you know, at least minute-wise. You know, Laverne did get in 50 games. I think the team has played close to 60. So there's your take back, Dan. How about that?
I mean, I just thought that they can end up moving them at the end of the season.
Yeah, and obviously you don't know, you know, who or what's gonna happen here. I know the other thing I was baffled with team wise, not so much the Bulls, but you know, the 76ers. You know, they made all these high draft picks and, you know, trust the process and all that BS. And then they traded one of their young big men, Nerlens Noel, to Dallas for, I believe, Andrew Bogut. And now they're basically saying that Bogut is going to be bought out. And he's going to Cleveland after he's bought out. I'm a little baffled by this move come Philadelphia wise. I mean, in reality, you gave Dallas a guy and got nothing. I mean, how does this help a rebuilding team? I mean, is it salary cap space? I don't even know if that helps them, does it? Yeah, it was just really confusing. You know, and on the Dallas end, I think it's a fantastic trade. You know, Noel's a big man who just wasn't getting any playing time in Philadelphia. Even with the injuries to Embiid and Okafor, I guess they had kind of decided that he was the odd man out of the big three guys they had drafted. You know, he's going to get to go to Dallas, play with Dirk, with Bogut gone. He'll be able to operate inside. You know, Dallas has always done a nice job of developing players. You know, he could blossom there. I mean, he was, the sixth overall pick, and the only reason he dropped the six was because he was hurt. You know, this could really turn into something for Dallas, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, they're still in it.
I don't know if it'll be enough to get them into a playoff spot, but I think at least going forward, you know, if Dirk wants to hang around another year or two, I think this guy could be a big plus. You know, for a team like the Mavericks, you know, and then obviously, you know, Cleveland, who didn't make any deals, they stand pat. They're going to end up with two players because they're going to get Bogut after Philadelphia buys him out. And then Dallas, again, decided they were going to waive Deron Williams. The talk was that Utah wanted him in a trade, but nothing ever materialized. So they just flat out waived him, let him go. And the reports are already out there that he's agreed to sign with the Cavaliers once he clears waivers. So, you know, they got the veteran point guard, you know, playmaker LeBron wanted and didn't have to give anything up for it.
I mean, when they go to the finals, are they going to have to charge the quadruple price so that they, you know, being over last year, I think they were about $20 million in the negative.
Yeah, well, you know, they're headed back there again because they're going to have to sign Williams and they're going to have to sign Bogut. You know, I'm sure they'll both get minimum deals, but even so, you know, you're still adding that to your debt. You know, and then they're probably going to have to release two guys. I'm guessing if Williams is coming in, that probably spells the end for Kay Fetler because LeBron didn't like him, and, you know, he's probably going to be the guy to get the axe. I don't know who will go in Bogut's place. I'm sure they've got somebody down the roster they can ship off or, you know, maybe send a D-League or something. But, yeah, we're going to add to, you know, LeBron's going to find a way to add to, you know, his owner's debt. You know, one way or the other. I still wonder if that's just LeBron's case, if he's just trying to bankrupt the guy. Maybe he wants to get it to the point where he can buy the team, where, you know, the guy is so desperate to make a deal that he sells to LeBron.
I mean, there's no rule against player owner, right? I mean, Jordan did it for a week or
something. Yeah, I don't believe there is. You know, he could, you know, as far as I know, unless they put something in, I mean, you know, you and I aren't exactly, you know, the tightest NBA rule followers when it comes to stuff. But, yeah, Jordan did it. Didn't he own part of the team when he played for the Wizards? So, why not LeBron? But yeah, I just, like I said, I honestly wonder if this is just some, you know, long-term plan he's got going where, you know, he's going to spend all this guy's money and then, you know, walk in and say, hey buddy, I know you're having some financial trouble. Let me help you out. I'll take the team off your hands. You know, basically he'd be buying the team with that guy's own money.
Well, I mean, even acquiring at least 40% of the team.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So that was kind of funny. I know, you know, there were some other, you know, the only other real, I think even interesting move is, you know, the Raptors did get PJ Tucker from the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, now Tucker's not a big time name, big time scorer, you know, one of those kind of players. What he is he's a defender. And, you know, Toronto specifically went out and got this guy for a matchup against Cleveland. You know, Tucker's job will be to guard LeBron James if the Raptors and the Cavaliers meet in the playoffs. So it'd be interesting to see how that worked out. You know, they made the interesting move early when they picked up Serge Ibaka, who's a really nice player. You know, they made two really smart trades. But, you know, they've been kind of scuffling. You know, they're actually in fourth place. They've been the second best team in the East for a long time. What is that going to be enough to kind of bounce them back?
It should be. I mean, like you said, they were the second place team, but you're also talking about Boston and Washington kind of bumping ahead of them. So it's not like it's just any two teams. So I think these top four have a great shot. And you got to imagine they stick where they are. They've got a great shot at beating Atlanta.
Yeah, and I know, you know, there were a lot of people upset that the Celtics didn't make a move because, you know, they have all those draft picks and all that stuff. But, you know, you got to remember, it does take two teams to trade, and you don't want to give away one of those picks. But, you know, Dan, if you think about it, imagine how much more the Celtics could get for that draft pick if that Brooklyn pick falls at number one. You know, right now you're just saying, well, it could be, you know, you're guaranteed to get one, two, or three. But if it falls at number one, you know, A, they could just hang on to it and pick the best player, or B, you know, they could probably sell that for, you know, quite a bit out there. I mean, that's going to get you, you know, whatever top players on the market, be it Jimmy Butler or maybe a Carmelo if he agrees to go there. You know, depending on what this team is looking for, right?
I think that's about possible.
So, So, yeah, you know, it could be a bigger asset hanging on to it. You know, and I mean, you know, they're not a badly constructed team, but I don't know. Do you believe, say they would have went out and they added one of the big guys who didn't move, be it Butler, George, or Anthony, still make them good enough to beat Cleveland in the East?
I don't think so.
So, yeah, they might have been better off just hanging on to it, and let's wait wait until the off season and just see how much, you know, it could grow. You know, obviously their team is constituted pretty well as it is, right? I mean, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about. You know, you asked me yesterday if I thought there's going to be some big names going. You know, I think we learned today it's the biggest names are Noel and Taj Gibson.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of humorous when you think about it. One of the biggest names to move at the deadline was Taj Gibson. He was a very good player for the Bulls. You know, he was sixth man of the year at one time. But, you know, neither of them are that, you know, marquee talent that, again, you know, you and I heard all the BS about it. I mean, we've been wading through it, no pun intended there, Dwayne, wading through it for weeks. With the, you know, will Carmelo Anthony agree to go here or will Jimmy Butler go there? And, you know, then, you know, late in the week it was, well, will the Pacers build around Paul George or will they move Paul George? And, you know, in the end, you know, I was dumb enough to listen to him. I think you were probably a little smarter than I was, you know, thinking, cool, we're going to get a big move at the deadline. Yeah, no, we got squat. You know, and oddly, you know, damn, the two best teams in the West, you know, the Warriors and the Spurs didn't even make a move. like the stuff the Rockets made some minor stuff. They did add Lou Williams with, you know, the way they shoot the three. He's going to be a big, you know, probably a big asset to them. But, you know, you wonder, you know, there's teams like the Clippers who probably needed to do something that didn't. I think Oklahoma City probably comes out the winner out of all of this, with the exception of maybe Cleveland, when, you know, they get to just do nothing and add guys. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, kind of a lame trade deadline.
And, I mean, when you brought up Melo, you know, he's locked in next year. I believe the 2018-19 season where he gets to be, after next year, he gets to opt out if he chooses. So, I mean, I don't see any team really in their right mind that would take on a contract like that when he's most likely just going to leave after next season. At 2016.
Yeah, and, you know, they did say... Yeah, you did mention that. They did say that was part of the reason George never ended up going anywhere, is he made it widely known that if anybody traded for him, he was leaving after the end of the year because his contract is up. So, but we do actually, Dan, we get some on-court action tonight. The NBA returns after their six-day All-Star break, I guess it was. We get the Portland Trail Blazers at the Orlando Magic, the Charlotte Hornets at the Detroit Pistons, the Houston Rockets are at the New Orleans Pelicans, and DeMarcus Cousins is supposed to play, so we'll get to see that. It's doubleheader night on TNT. Dan, here you go. The first game, you'll be able to watch this, the New York Knicks at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The second game on TNA has the Los Angeles Clippers against the Golden State Warriors. And then the night in the NBA wraps up with the Denver Nuggets against the Sacramento Kings. Will you be able to take in any Knicks Cavaliers, and do the Knicks have a chance, Dan?
They have a chance to, you know, tie around the type of stuff that Ron, Irving, and someone else.
Yeah, do they need time off after a six-day break, Dan? Does LeBron need a little rest? Well, he did play Sunday. So, really, it's only been, you know, what, Monday, Tuesday. He's only really had 3 days off. So, does he need an extra day? Can he get one against the Knicks here?
I the Cavaliers will, you know, keep the Knicks in the game, but they'll take it over.
You know, I did see here, Dan, you know, again, I don't know how accurate these are, but they did say there are 28 tickets available for you know, from $43, and I don't know if it's down or up. So if you could get to Cleveland, Dan, you could take in your Knicks game. It doesn't start till 7, so you had an opportunity to get there. So, yeah, but, yeah, you know, at least they're back on the court. You know, I don't know if that's good or bad or – you know, how it kind of works out, but oh well, there you go. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if anybody else gets, you know, if anybody else gets released that teams could pick up or, you know, how it works out. I was a little disappointed there was no, you know, Derrick Rose for Ricky Rubio swap. I was really looking for, see how Rose would have done going back with, you know, good old Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that.
So, but yeah, you know, I guess, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of the things you get to deal with around this time is the, you know, the speculation and who knows what and all the other fun stuff. And, you know, as it turned out, nobody knew any more than what you and I did. So.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you know, you said we rely on other information provided, you know, pretty much to the World Wide Web. But I think you forget about the one thing that we use when we're talking about this stuff, and that's a magical thing that you can't teach and you don't learn in school or any of that. It's just sheer logic.
Yeah, you broke up there at the end. I didn't get the end of your comment. But yeah, well, yeah, you know, you would like to think, you know, obviously, you know, you and I don't have, you know, we don't have editors hanging over us or any of that fun stuff that some of these guys have to deal with, where they have to, you know, come up with a story, you know, that just has to be there. It has to get out there. You know, you and I are, you know, kind of prefaced by our own, you know, whatever we want to do type of deal here. So.
Well, I mean, it's easy to speculate, and, you know, you and I both, we need to speculate and look at things, but before the podcast started, I saw an article on Bleacher Report. You know, the lead, when you checked your email, said, ooh, Cutler, Mahling, you know, thinking about retirement. And then I kind of read the article, and it was just a guy saying that that's an option for him. Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's an option for you and I, too, right? I mean, if we just decided to retire, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they made it seem like that's what he said, but he never said it.
Yeah, you know, and that's the tough part. I mean, you know, you have to be able to kind of, you know, wade through the BS, you know, that comes with all this. And, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, great. What are we talking about now? You know, we got, you know, this person saying that, or however it works out. And but yeah, that, you know, like I said, that was just such the weird part with this was, you know, it made it seem like we were going to see one of those big three names moved. And, you know, the more reports I hear on it and the more I look into it, apparently none of these guys were anywhere close to ever going anywhere. You know, about the closest it got was when the Knicks approached the Cavaliers about Kevin Love for Carmelo, and the Cavs said no right away. You know, and that was a month ago, I think. So, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, I guess it's nice or fun to talk about. And I mean, I'm sure it's still going to go on with, you know, what are the Celtics going to do, you know, with all the stuff, you know, they have going on, because they, you know, they do, again, have a multiple of draft picks, and, you know, they're an ever-improving team. But, yeah, I, you know, other than that, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, great, whatever.
Well, I mean, but the biggest difference when you're, you know, with the Lowe deal is, well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I personally think maybe it would be better to have Melo, because he has the option to opt out after the 2018-19 season, whereas they're secure, you know, they're locked into Kevin Love until 2020.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, you know, they bring different things, obviously. You know, while Love can score and does get his rebounds, you know, he's not the offensive force Carmelo is. But, you know, neither of them are great defenders. You know, the big difference is, like, you know, Carmelo's just not the rebounder Kevin Love is. I mean, that seems to be the thing that separates them. So, depending on what you think your team needs or how it works, they would kind of match up that way. But yeah, it's kind of a pretty even wash. I mean, do you have one guy ahead of the other?
Not really. I would assume Kevin Love hits a few more threes.
Yeah. You know, Love a little younger. I don't have their ages in front of me, so I don't know which. But you know, they've got to be pretty close in age at this point, right?
I think it's only a couple of years different. Because Love will be 31 in 2021.
Yeah, Carmelo is 32, he'll be 33 in May, the end of May. And you said Kevin Love is 31?
Well, no, he'll be 31 in 2021.
Yeah, oh yeah, Love is actually 28. He won't be 29 till September. So Love is a few years younger, but, you know, not much. And then, you know, if you look at it, Love has been a whole lot more injury prone than Carmelo has. You know, Carmelo, for the most part of his career, I know he was dinged up a little last year, but, you know, for the majority of the time, he's been healthy, and he goes to the gate. You know, when it's time to play, Carmelo shows up. You know, Love is hurt quite a bit. So, you know, that would be something you'd have to deal with. So, yeah, I think they're pretty even, you know, when you kind of look at them player-wise, with the exception of, you know, the rebounding. But all right, Dan, I have to gauge your excitement on this. We got to get off basketball. I just can't do it. We get our first spring training game tomorrow. How excited are you?
A little bit, but you know, they're playing college team.
Well, no, tomorrow they're actually matching up against each other.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, we get I'll give you the schedule real quick. We get the Mets at the Red Sox, the Orioles at the Tigers, and the Phillies at the Yankees. The Philly-Yankee game is actually going to be on the MLB Network. We get the University of Milwaukee is going up against the Brewers, so we do have one of those games on there. But then we get the Reds and the Giants facing the Twins. So, yeah, we get actual Major League games tomorrow, and then on Saturday – we get the Cubs are taking on the A's, and I don't see the White Sox. I guess they don't open up yet. So, but yeah, we'll have actual, you know, again, I mean, it'll be for, you know, an inning or an at bat or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. We did have three of those games today. The Red Sox beat Northeastern University 9-6. The Tigers shut out Florida Southern 8-0. And the Phillies also shut out the University of Tampa 6-0, but that game only went seven innings because of weather. So, but there you go. We're all set and ready for actual game action, Dan. So are you going to get sucked in and turn it on and see what's happening? Oh no, where did Dan go? Did I lose you or did you mute yourself?
Oh yeah, I had the voice going.
There we go.
Did you try tuning in today on MLB.tv?
No, I actually did not know there were any. I didn't know they were playing any of these games today. I didn't find out till I actually pulled up the schedule. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as the MLB TV goes, the subscription renewal doesn't happen until March 1st. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow if it works or not. Otherwise, I won't be watching anything until after March 1st.
But yeah, I I'm not going to be getting up at noon to turn on the Yankee Philly game tomorrow. You know, it's just one of, you know, as you know, fun as it could be to see a little bit of it, I'm sure I'll catch. I don't know. Do you know off the top of your head is that Cub game on somewhere Saturday?
They're playing the Giants and the A's, and they're doing a split squad. And no, unfortunately, I'm not sure. I wish the MLB did like the NHL and actually put the network where they're playing. But then again, that might be when they're televised.
I'm sure Schomburg Stu knows. You know, he's probably got it all mapped up on a wall at home because, you know, he's just raring for, this to get going. So, too bad he's not here to visit us today. We could probably find out, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, but we'll figure it out here in a day or two to see what's going on. You know, it's always interesting to kind of get this going, but, you and I both know, yeah, you know, we're not going to see, you know, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo out there playing nine innings, so. But yeah, at least it's a plus. Now, you know, I was wondering, Dan, are you a little surprised that some of the guys are still out there in free agency, weren't like brought into camp? I know like the one name, especially with pitching the way it is, I was a little shocked to see nobody brought Joe Blanton in. You know, he had a great year setting up for the Dodgers last year. And I don't think, you know, anybody took a look at him. Are you a little shocked with as big as, you know, the needs are for pitching that, you know, he wasn't brought back?
I was trying to get real quick to find out who his agent is.
Oh, yeah, I don't. Yeah, let's see. Maybe I can find it real quick as well here. But yeah, you know, he was, you know, definitely one of the better setup guys as it worked out. And he kind of, you know, he kind of went away. He's a what?
I said he's not a Scott Boras guy, so.
So yeah, you know, he made 75 appearances for the Dodgers last year, 7-2 with a 2.48 ERA, You know, I know he scuffled in the, you know, the playoffs a little bit, but that was, you know, he'd been a starter most of his career, and that was easily double the games he had ever pitched in. So you wonder, well, you know, maybe he didn't, you know, you wonder if maybe he was just a little out of gas, you know, in the postseason. But, you know, with a year, you know, under the belt and used to doing that, you know, he could be an asset. I mean, you know, is he one of those guys, if we get an injury here early in camp, that they're calling him?
I think so. I mean, we always say everyone's hurting for bullpen help, but he's really looking for a setup guy. You know, he obviously didn't come back to the Dodgers when Sergio Romo.
Yeah, that seemed to be kind of the swap there, right? Was it was Blanton for Romo, and I know, you know, Romo obviously has the pedigree, you know, a longer pedigree you would look at it as, but yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Blanton, like I said, didn't, you know, pitch really well, you know, in a whole bunch of games for obviously a playoff team. You know, he was kind of the one guy, you know, and I mean, I know he's 36 and, you know, you deal with all that, and you know, do you think teams were maybe worried that it's just been, it was an anomaly for him last year? Because, you know, he'd never really been a setup guy.
Well, I mean, that could be it, but, you know, the thing you always throw in there, he's right-handed. So I think if he were left-handed,
yeah,
he would have been picked up already.
Yeah, probably, you know, that, yeah, definitely he would end up with, you know, with something somewhere. But yeah, he, you know, he was, you know, obviously, you know, there aren't a lot of free agents left. You know, I mean, there's, you know, there's the power hitter guys out there, you know, like nobody brought Pedro Alvarez in, and, you know, nobody brought, I believe, Ryan Howard is still hanging out there. You know, I can't say I'm hugely surprised by either of those guys going, being out there, are you?
I mean, maybe Pedro Alvarez, but not so much Ryan Howard.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to think. I saw a list of some guys who are still out here. Let me see if I can find it. I don't think there were any real, you know, real big names. You know, I think what hurt Alvarez is, you know, he didn't play a ton last year. I don't think he played as much as people thought he would with the Orioles. And, you know, he didn't put up huge numbers, but he's still a really good left-handed power hitter. So I, you know, who knows, you know, some of the names, Dan, I mean, they're veteran names, you know, Billy Butler, Marlon Byrd, Chris Capuano, your guy, Coco Crisp, still out there. Here's another name that's kind of surprising. Nobody brought Doug Fister into camp. You know, and I know he's not a top of the tier rotation guy, but you know, on some of these teams, he could be a solid five or maybe come out of the bullpen, right?
Yeah.
You know, some more names, you know, Jeff Francoeur, you wonder if he'll catch on again. Sam Fold is still out there. Dan, do you know Sam Fold is 35? Good Lord, I didn't realize he was that old.
I mean, he played for the Cubs 10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess it was that long ago, you know. Luke Hochhaver's out there. We mentioned Ryan Howard. My guy Edwin Jackson still hanging around. I think Kelly Johnson is still on the free agent market, but a couple of your guys here, Dan, Kobe Lewis and Tim Lincecum. Now, Lewis is 37, so I wouldn't be surprised if nobody brings him in, but do you see maybe one of these guys catching on somewhere?
I would think both of them, but I'm surprised that, like you said, they weren't invited to camp to see how they work out, but, you know, another thing, it might be good for them to activities right now and, you know, work out and try to find something somewhere else to start. But going back to your question, we will see the Cubs Athletics at 3:05 Eastern Saturday at WGN.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I always get a kick out of Kobe Lewis because, you know, the first thing anybody's going to complain about is that his ERA is too high. And I know wins apparently mean nothing now in Major League Baseball, but the guy always keeps his team in the game and they win. So I, you know, I'm a, you know, maybe his age at 37, and I know he's coming off an injury. You know, but Lincecum is only 32. I really hope he gets another shot. I know he scuffled with the Angels, and, you know, it didn't really work out. But, you know, God, I wanted to have at least one more try. Let's see. Javi Lopez retired. Jeff Manship, Casey McGee, no big deal. Justin Morneau, you know, Morneau hit pretty well with the White Sox, but I think he's kind of a wait-and-see guy too, isn't he? John, well, they must not have updated the list. Must not have updated the list because I think John Neese signed with Yankee. Angel Pagan is still out there, Dan. Are you surprised nobody brought him in, or maybe just the Giants didn't bring him back?
I'm kind of surprised the Giants didn't bring him back. And again, he's still a quality outfielder. He may not be an everyday guy, but he's still out there, depth in your outfield.
You know, and then I'm very happy that actually Jonathan Papelbon is still out here because I really was afraid the Cubs were going to try to bring him in. You know, it was just kind of like, oh, God, no. You know, A.J. Pierzynski's still out there, Dan. He's 40. I'm kind of guessing he's probably done. They have David Ross on the list, but, of course, he's retired now. So your guy Carlos Villanueva, Dan, is still hanging out here. So, and Jerome Williams with his different color glove. So, yeah, those are some of the guys who, you know, didn't end up in camp to start the week here. No, not too many huge surprises, right? I mean, do you think some of these guys will catch on eventually?
They might, or maybe they'll find an overseas deal.
Yeah, and, you know, I know, I think a couple of them did. I saw Sean O'Sullivan on the list, and I believe he's already signed to play in Japan. You know, I am interested, Dan, and I think we talked about this before. You know, I'm kind of surprised, and maybe he didn't want to do it, but I'm really surprised the team didn't try to bring Lincecum in and see if he could be a setup guy because he was just so good in the playoffs that one year. I'm still a little shocked nobody's tried that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's him wanting to do it, I guess, but... You know, he played more of a middle long relief role in the playoffs that year. But I think dropping him down to pitching one inning would be amazing for him.
Yeah, I mean, you figure, you know, even if he comes in for, you know, just one or two innings, you know, as your setup guy, I mean, he wouldn't have to face the, you know, obviously the order multiple times. And, you know, you just wonder if maybe, you know, do you think it was something maybe he didn't want to do and he wanted to be a starter?
It could be that. You know, it's tough to make that transition, but I think if he could, he could be successful. But I think on the other hand, he was giving up a lot of hits last year. That's why it didn't really pan out in Los Angeles.
So, yeah, he definitely had his struggles. You know, I mean, we're not going to, you know, we can't sugarcoat that. I believe, was it his first outing that was really good? And I think I got a little overexcited with it. And, you know, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, here we go. And, yeah, it kind of went downhill after that. But, yeah, it's especially, you know, like we were just talking about, there's so much of a call for middle relief. So I guess it's just weird that, you know, I see that name and I think, oh yeah, no problem. We'll just pick this guy up. So just how I get with, you know, stuff like that. I don't know what it is. So, but hopefully he'll catch on and we'll get to, you know, get to talk about him a little more. Even if he's not a starter, I would just still like to see him, you know, get in. Now, I've been meaning to ask you, you know, while it is baseball, it's a little off topic. Have you had a chance to look at the redone baseballreference.com site? And if you did, what'd you think?
I don't know. I was actually looking at that yesterday, and I noticed it was a little bit easier to navigate on your phone. I still have to get kind of get used to it, but the drop-down menu options, I'm still getting used to it. I liked it a little better when you could just scroll up and down the page and everything was there. But I think they organized it a little better. And just one of those things you'll have to adjust to. But I, you know, on their end, I think it's great that they're able to update it. You know, so
yeah, you know, I definitely think, you know, they did a nice job. You know how I am. I have the fun part trying to figure everything out, but I'll get the hang of it sooner or later.
Yeah, you know, their subscription to get it without ads is about $15 a year. I don't know. The only thing for me, though, do the ads really bother you that much, Big Jack? You know, because I know it's a tool to do this show, and it's not like they have that player index, which, you know, we were able to get a free year out of it for last year. And I looked at it, and I know I tried to get you to look at it, and neither one of us could really figure it out. So, that's the only added advantage of paying, I think, is you get to use the player index and you lose the ads. So that's one of those things where, unfortunately for them, I don't know that you get a whole lot of people buying into the subscription for that, which $15 isn't bad for the entire year. They can't complain about that. I did notice, you know, as we were still on the basketball topic and jumped off of it, there is an option if you roll down, you can actually, and I don't remember this before, and maybe it's just something we never really looked at. You know, the Kevin Love talk and the Carmelo, there's actually an option in there when you scroll down where you can compare players. So, you know, be it I was on Love's page, it says compare, you know, Love to, I think you had the option of up to 8 players. So, you know, I think that's something that I mentioned to you now. The light went off in your head. And, you know, knowing that they have that option, I think that's something we probably will use a lot more this season. Because, you know, whenever, you know, you're a big one saying the Kevin Loves and the blah, blah, blahs. And I hate that because there's only one of him. you know that. But I think at the same time, especially with baseball coming up, especially with the draft, we can kind of sit there and, you know, match up the top 10 players and compare them against each other, or not even just the top 10, you know, going first basemen, outfielders. There's a million different comparisons that I know you and I will just think about on the spot. And not only that, when the draft comes up for fantasy, I think that's going to actually help out a lot. Just being able to kind of gauge, look at numbers. I don't know about you. Looking at the stats and everything is kind of what you get. Just another thing to look at. I'm not going to dive in all over a guy just because his WAR is blah, blah, blah. I like to look at the stats. Kind of gives me an idea of where they're at and what they do. But I also go by my gut feeling. So I don't know if you can ever take that out of the drafting. But that was the one thing I wanted to bring up yesterday, which I was dying laughing and it just didn't come up. Was, you know, on my phone looking at it, when we were talking Josh Hamilton, you know, it had his name, and like the first thing it had was his WAR. So I wanted to know what you thought of that, and maybe we need to try to get someone from, you know, Sports Reference to come on the podcast and explain why they feel. They emailed me once, but I don't remember if I forwarded it to you and annoyed you out with it, but see if we can get them to actually explain to us the importance and really what it does, because neither one of us buy into it.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you, you know, I like the page is nice. What I don't like, though, is they no longer list the player's agent. You know how they had the little bio for him?
Yeah.
You know, and they always had, you know, the agent listed in there who represented him. And it appears they've now taken that away. And I really kind of like that. It was nice to know, you know, who was representing who.
Yeah, well, I'm pulling up on my iPad. I will have it just always up from now on my, you know, my browser. The two sites that I know we're going to use the most is, you know, baseballreference.com. For everyone out there, you get Sports Reference, you know, you get your baseball, basketball, football, hockey, your college basketball, if that's your thing. And then I think the other one we'll just always have to have open and available is Spot Track or Sport Track. I believe that's the name, which
yeah.
has all the contract info, because that's, you know, Baseball Reference obviously is their flagship. So when you go to the basketball and the other stuff, they don't have as much information as they do for the MLB. So, you know, for me, on my iPad, I'll definitely have both of those in the browser at all times, just so I can, you know, bounce back and forth, you know. You know, you pull off Carmelo and, you know, Leon Rose is his agent, and this is the terms of his contract. Then you can bounce back to Basketball Reference and see the stats that are going on.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, and, you know, I mean, we oddly, you know, maybe the only people who actually bring up, you know, who's represented by who when, you know, this stuff comes up. Yeah, it really does. You know, I know we were talking about it earlier in the week, wondering, you know, if that was part of Matt Weider's problem, you know, was the fact that he's a Scott Boras guy. So.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget the amount of threats that Boras has made to the Nationals.
So yeah, you wonder if that had anything to do with them. You know, of course they did. You know, they did work out the Strasburg contract last year. So
yeah,
you know, that's you know, a big plus for them. See, I had to look since you were telling me, and Joe Blanton is represented by Jeff Berry, who's with CAA Sports. So there you go. So, but it does look like did he resign with the Dodgers? Is this up to date? So, oh no. Okay. That was last year's deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, he is still out there, but yeah, I had to look cause we were talking about it and I know we couldn't find it. So
yeah. Well, yeah, I had seen that while I was on Sport Track. Or,
yeah.
You know, we kind of bounced off of that.
So that's definitely something, you know, we definitely have our sites that we prefer.
Yeah. Well, and the agent thing even came into play with, I know we didn't really talk about it a whole lot, but the Betances, am I saying his name right? Don Betances, with the Yankees losing his arbitration to the Yankees, and what did he turn around and do? He fired his agent.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot of blame placed on that guy after the hearing.
Yeah. I mean, it was an arbitrator decision, so maybe he just didn't present a great case. So I could see, but, you know, again, you know, we don't know the whole process of that system.
Yeah, you know, the stories I heard that came out is the agent was apparently trying to set a new position on how Betances is looked at as, you know, middle reliever setup guys becoming more important or just as important as closers. And I guess his story didn't really hit or didn't really take or something like that, but you know, I understood where he was going with it, you know, because the playoffs changed all that last year on relievers, and it just may have been too early, being that Betances was the first guy they tried to push that way. It may have hurt him more than helped him. You know, but there, you know, because there's always that one guy who's the trailblazer. So, you know, I mean, at one point in time, you know, there was a Kurt Flood, and now we have a free agent market. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just there's always that guy, and you know, somewhere down the road, we may look back and say, yeah, you know, remember when, you know, Dellin Betances' agent tried to set the market for him like this, and it didn't work. you just never know. But it, you know, one way or the other, it'll work itself out. So, you know, and I know we haven't mentioned much about hockey or the NHL or anything at all. You know, are you still believing in your Capitals here? I know they had what was weird is I heard an odd stat, you know, the NHL is doing that bye week, and I guess teams coming back from the bye week in their first game are 3-14. And, you know, the Capitals got off to a rough start there. You know, they went 0-2 coming out of the gate after having a week off. Do you think the NHL needs to adjust that somehow?
I was confused. I didn't really know where that came from. I didn't realize. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't they just do the All-Star break and now they get a bye week? I don't understand. Why not just take two full weeks off?
Yeah, this was the first year they tried it. And I haven't heard much feedback on it, but I know that first game back has been killing teams. You know, they've just been getting mopped up. So, but there are 6 games tonight. The New York Rangers at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the New York Islanders at the Montreal Canadiens, the Calgary Flames at the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Colorado Avalanche at the Nashville Predators. The Arizona Coyotes at the Chicago Blackhawks. If you're not local, that's actually the NBC Sports Network game. And the Boston Bruins at the Los Angeles Kings. It was kind of weird, wasn't it? That all of a sudden it was just kind of like, hey, you guys get a week off.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was going on with fantasy because I kept going back and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then, you know, it was confusing because I'm like, wait, no, it's the NBA's week off to the All-Star, and so I was just thrown off as to what was going on. I didn't even realize there was a bye week, you know, especially you're tuning in and there's no hockey on. I do find it odd though for myself that I've caught more Capitals games than I have Hawks, really.
Yeah, well, you know, I always make sure to let you know when they're on, so
yeah.
You know, anytime I see one, you know, you got to get to Twitter. Anytime you say anything about the Capitals, remember it's at Dan Z Man with 3. I just want to let him know what's going on there. So, I do think, and I know we're pretty much out of show here, but doesn't the NHL have to do a little better job of taking advantage of the situation when they're the only league out there?
I mean, they didn't really take advantage of it at all.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was a game on Saturday night. I don't remember if it was the Penguins or the Capitals.
It's something we'll have to get in tomorrow. If I remember, we'll have to start the show with it tomorrow. We can talk about it then. But Dan and I got to go. That's what the music means. You know the deal. Oh, well, actually, wait. We're back tomorrow at 5:30, so come back for that. Then you know the deal. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the stuff there. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on that Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter, too. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.